You are listening to the IFH Podcast Network. For more amazing filmmaking and screenwriting podcasts, just go to ifhpodcastnetwork.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, How to Turn Your Independent Film into a Money-Making Business by Alex Ferrari. For a free copy of the audiobook, head over to www.filmbizbook.com.
The Director Series is made possible by the support of our subscribers on Special. Subscribe today at special.tv/The Director Series and gain access to exclusive full-length Director Series episodes and other bonus content, ad-free.
Welcome to the Director Series podcast, a show dedicated to deconstructing the work of some of cinema's most celebrated and influential film directors. I'm your host, Cameron Bile.
It was weird because I found that I couldn't write in the chaos of Boogie Nights coming out. I mean, I just couldn't. I think I just wanted to make another movie right away because I was scared about expectations. And I thought I could cut them off at the pass if I just went right away and made another one.
The runaway success of Boogie Nights resulted in New Line Cinema gifting Anderson the opportunity to do anything he wanted as his next project. Knowing he'd never again be in this enviable position, Anderson decided to go for broke and make a passion project that he described as the all-time great San Fernando Valley film. In plotting out his story, Anderson tapped into great reservoirs of creativity and inspiration. What started as a small, offbeat character piece soon blossomed into an all-encompassing statement on loneliness, regret, and chance in a small patch of suburb just north of bustling Los Angeles. Magnolia sees Anderson step ever more firmly into Robert Altman territory by weaving together several disparate threads and slowly pulling them taut to reveal a tightly woven tapestry of life, love, and loss. Simply put, it's the magnum opus of Anderson's early career, capping off a long fascination with sprawling ensemble-based stories.
So this is the first shot of this movie that I think we should all unashamedly try and make a great movie. And don't apologize. Let's just try and make a really, really, really fantastic movie. Because there's no shame in that. Okay?
Okay.
Great. So we'll just do this.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, of course.
I'm really nervous that you're gonna hate me soon. You're gonna find stuff out about me and you're gonna hate me.
You shouldn't be scared of scaring me off or whatever you think that I think and on, you should just say it, whatever it is, and I'll listen to you.
You don't know how fucking stupid I am.
It's okay.
You don't know how crazy I am.
It's okay.
I've got troubles, okay?
I'll take everything at face value. I'll be a good listener to you.
I started this, didn't I? Fuck.
Whatever it is, just say it. You'll see.
You want to kiss me, Jim?
Yes, I do.
The central conceit of Magnolia is that the film's story unfolds along a stretch of the eponymous street, located in the San Fernando Valley, purportedly all within a span of a few square miles. The idea is to communicate the range of humanity that can occur in such a small amount of space, and how we're more connected than we think. As the film unspools, several story threads draw closer together, the major events rippling like waves through the narrative.
And this was not just a matter of chance. These strange things happen all the time.
Magnolia explores ideas about chance and coincidence, comparing them against the larger predetermined arc of the universe. In a move that's both inspired and utterly baffling, Anderson uses a counterintuitive image to state his case, a random, inexplicable downpour of frogs, materializing as if from nowhere and hurtling towards the earth with biblical fury. The film goes to great pains to suggest that these seemingly random events might just be the opposite, and that our fates may indeed be as preordained and unforeseeable as a sudden hailstorm of amphibians. While an expanded budget allows for higher profile actors, Anderson mostly calls his cast from his pool of Boogie Nights alumni, Riley, Walters, Hall, Macy, Hoffman, and more, all deliver some of their best work here, thanks to an unwavering dedication to Anderson's vision and an eagerness to play against type. Magnolia is perhaps the most definitive example of Anderson's company of actors, featuring supporting performances from Luis Guzman as an irritable and impatient contestant on Jimmy Gator's game show.
Don't start trouble, Luis.
Honey, you haven't seen trouble.
Ricky Jay as the show's producer and omniscient narrator during the film's prologue and epilogue.
And it is in the humble opinion of this narrator that this is not just something that happened. This cannot be one of those things.
Fuck you, I paid you!
Alfred Molina as a Persian furniture store owner, and even Thomas Jane as a young Jimmy Gator.
And I cheated on her over and over and over again because I wanted her to be a man and I didn't want her to be a woman, you know, a smart, free person who was something.
Of the new talent, Jason Robards gives a heartbreaking performance in his final film role as a man besieged by regret at the end of his life. Hollywood superstar Tom Cruise was nominated for an Oscar in what is generally considered a career-best performance, as the steam-stealing chauvinist who uses bravado and machismo to bury his crippling daddy issues.
Take it on headfirst with the skills that I will teach you at work and say, Noah!
No!
You will not control me! Noah!
No!
You will not take my soul! Noah!
No!
You will not win this game!
Magnolia is the kind of film that lives or dies off of its performances, and thankfully the collective efforts of Anderson's brilliant cast helped the piece soar to exhilarating heights.
I have love. A very chatty kind indeed you do, it seems.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you, I have love.
Yes, and I'm listening avidly, fella.
My name is Donnie Smith, and I have lots of love to give.
Magnolia is not as visually stylized as Anderson's previous work, but he still manages to achieve a larger-than-life feel thanks to returning cinematographer Robert Elswit's virtuoso camera work. The film's aesthetic is textbook Anderson, a 235-to-1 anamorphic frame given vigor and color by a mix of confidently executed dolly, crane, steadicam, and handheld compositions. Like Boogie Nights before it, Magnolia uses long tracking shots to convey space and time, pulling its characters along their cosmic journeys. Elswit and Anderson find the opportunity to experiment with different film stocks and cameras and Magnolia's bookending chance or fate sequences. His parents argue. A highlight being Anderson's use of an authentic, hand-cranked Pathé camera to simulate the look of old silent pictures.
I'm Jimmy Gator, and believe it or not, we are at the end of week 7, heading towards week 8 with these three incredible kids.
With Magnolia, Anderson's regular editor Dylan Tichenor has his work cut out for him in keeping track of all these disparate story threads. If Sergei Eisenstein's montage theory established how editing could be used to tie two separate events in time and space together, then Tichenor's work on Magnolia serves as the arguable evolution, interweaving the sweeping emotions of human experience into a cosmic tapestry. Anderson and Tichenor's edit plays like the film equivalent of a symphony, with harmonies and choruses organized into distinct movements. The movements themselves are distinguished via an inspired intertidal conceit that, instead of conveying the passage of time, notates changes in weather and humidity. It's an interesting idea that we'll certainly never see the likes of again, further evidencing Anderson's unique worldview. Magnolia is the first of Anderson's films not to feature the work of composer Michael Penn, but he does retain musical continuity in the form of Penn's wife, Amy Mann, and John Bryan.
Oh, come on, Frank. What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm quietly judging you.
Bryan's score in particular is worth singling out, as he has created a brooding suite of orchestral cues that are once both foreboding and elegiac, giving the necessary weight to the burden that Anderson's characters must carry. The score ducks and weaves throughout the piece, oftentimes playing against or running under diegetic source tracks from Mann and Supertramp. The effect is disharmonious, but in a good way, further solidifying the film's mosaic conceits.
That's the way of the world. Good luck, as always. Serve and protect and all that other blah, blah, blah on the side of the car.
Aimee Mann is a huge vocal identity within the soundtrack, providing several key songs such as the show-stopping Wise Up. The song is incorporated in a strikingly original way, playing over a sequence in which the characters sing along to it, staged within their various individual vignettes. The result is nothing less than one of the most unexpected and memorable moments in recent film history. The medium of video played a huge role in shaping Anderson's early worldview, like it did for several filmmakers of his generation. However, his treatment of the format undergoes something of an evolution throughout his filmography. In Boogie Nights, video was a disruptive, transgressive advancement that held malevolent implications for its characters. By the present-day narrative of Magnolia, video had become commonplace and commodified, its power harnessed by people like Frank T.J. Mackey as a sales tool, a slick, well-lit means to nefarious ends.
Learn how to make that lady friend your sex star servant.
Mackey's seduce and destroy operation is indicative of another of Anderson's thematic fascinations, that of sexual dysfunction.
What I say is, Denise, the piece, I mark it down, I write it up, and you have been warned. Because I have my lasers, I have my tasers, I have my ICBMs, I have my bazookas, I have my jets pointed right at you.
Mackey employs a tactical, scorched-earth approach to seduction, viewing women purely as targets to be eliminated with the ballistics rocket below his belt. As his character arc plays out, it becomes quite clear that this militaristic, aggressive, and highly disciplined approach to sex is a crutch he leans on, a shovel to bury deep-seated rage about his past and his family. Indeed, several of Magnolia's characters' dramatic troubles stem from sex in some manner. Riley and Walters' fumbling romance, Robards' abandonment of the love of his life for a fleeting affair, or Hall's continuing infidelity and the implied sexual abuse of his daughter.
Get out! Get the fuck out of here! Get out!
Magnolia's thematic exploration of sex dysfunction overlaps with his exploration of family dynamics, digging deep into his character's insecurities and faults to find an inherent desire for the comfort of home and family. Like he had done following the production of Boogie Nights, Anderson created a tie-in music video for his Magnolia musical muse, Aimee Mann. But can you save me? Come on, save me. The track, Save Me, appears during the closing scene of the feature and was written specifically for the film. To reflect this, Anderson and Mann settled on an idea that would recreate key moments from Magnolia in motionless tableau form, while integrating Mann singing towards camera in the background. Anderson's fingerprints are all over this video, with a camera that continuously dollies forward on Mann with a creeping confidence. He also throws in a little visual variety by way of moving the furniture and set dressing around in elegant, almost impossible ways that reveal the hidden artifice of each vignette. Save Me is a simple yet moving little music video, and arguably Anderson's most popular. Like any wildly ambitious film, people didn't quite know what to make of Magnolia when it was released. The film didn't do well at the box office, but critics hailed it as a profound expansion of Anderson's directorial skill. People were just as quick to deem it a masterpiece as they were to deride it as an overindulgent failure. Regardless, Magnolia went on to considerable award season success, winning the prestigious Golden Bear Award at that year's Berlin Ale, as well as a second consecutive Academy Award nod for Anderson's screenplay.
I just would want to say thank you to the jury. Thanks a lot for liking this movie, because it helps, and it's very encouraging when you get prizes, when you really, just it's very encouraging to keep working hard. And thank you to my cast and to this amazing city, which is a great place to show a movie, and especially in this building.
With the release of Magnolia, Anderson had arguably reached the peak of his capabilities within this particular set of stylistic conceits. He had gone from the boy wonder who took Sundance by storm to the preeminent chronicler of California's weird and wonderful fringes, and all before his 30th birthday. However, he also had the intuition to realize that continuing along this route of valley-based ensemble epics would only lead to creative stagnation. A new direction was needed if Anderson was going to remain unpredictable, but just how sharp of a left turn that would ultimately be is something that absolutely no one could see coming.
Thank you for listening to the Director Series. For a deeper dive into your favorite filmmakers, go to www.directorseries.net. The Director Series is made possible in large part by our generous supporters on Patreon. Please visit us at patreon.com/directorseries to see how your contribution enables the continued production of video essays and text articles on your favorite contemporary and classic film directors. Thank you.